Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Really proud. I think besides that first drive, we really bowed up. It helped us in the run game a lot just to see what they were doing, and we made a lot of great adjustments to it. And it's not just 22. It's not the quarterback. It's a lot of the reverses as well. But none of that's possible. Our offense isn't putting up the points they were, so it kind of put them in a hard position. They had to throw the ball a lot more than they wanted to tonight. The zone read is very tough to defend, and when you can take away one of the options in hitting him every single time, you know he's got to give the ball. So it made things a little bit easier for us tonight.
Don't miss the NRG Santa Spectacular next Friday at Point State Park. Pittsburgh's family holiday tradition kicks off with the Winter Wonderland at 5, and then a special performance by a huge fan of Chris Muller, Gabby Barrett. Holiday train display from the McKeesport Model Railroad Club presented by S.W. Randall Toys and Gifts and Fireworks. NRG Santa Spectacular details at 93.7thefan.com. That was T.J. Watt on the symbiotic relationship between the offense and the defense last night. Offense scores and answers right back. Defense gets a pick six. Defense gets a three and out. Offense scores a touchdown. I mean, they both thrived and it was almost tit for tat trying to one-up each other last night. Even the special teams, which has been abysmal, got in on the fun with the Boswell field goal. He's better on long kicks than he is short ones. He was 4-for-4 on kicks over 50 yards last year. That's his first 50-yarder of the season, and he makes it. And that, hey, a lot of people compare kicking to putting. There are guys that are better on long putts than short putts.
What? No, I mean, I can explain to you why he probably is, although it shouldn't be a one-to-one analog. It really shouldn't, because it's still, like, the same motion. You're standing over a three-foot putt. You know this. You know you should make it, right? Mm-hmm. And mentally, that screws with you. Even if there's, like, movement in the putt, you're like, I know I'm close enough. I should make this. You're 25 feet. You're just stroking the putt the way you think you should hit it. If it happens to go in, you feel really good about yourself. They graded out very well for Pro Football Focus, but not so much on defense. Only one guy above an 80.
What's 80?
It's still good. Bud Dupree was their third highest rated guy on defense. Ben Roethlisberger, not their highest rated offensive player, which is kind of a Pro Football Focus blind spot because Roosevelt Nix was on six snaps. Vance McDonald, who I thought had a great catch that wasn't really a catch, actually rated higher than Ben.
Because it was so many points and because the margin of victory was so great, 31 points over a team that had come in winners of three straight. The Panthers had blown out the Buccaneers and the Ravens leading up to last night's game. We asked the question, where does this rank among the Steelers' most dominant, most impressive games at Heinz Field? And I put it third. Chris, where did you put it?
I'm putting it fourth. Even though I think it probably should be third, I'm putting it fourth. My number one is the New England game in 04. My number two is the Philly game immediately after that in 04. Number three, even though it was a bad Baltimore team without Flacco yet, you still hated Baltimore, right? 38-7 on primetime television is number three on my list. Then this game is number four.
So it's in the team picture for you.
Absolutely. Now, if they were to do something like this, win by multiple touchdowns against New England later this year, that would quickly vault to number one, most likely, on my list, which is a sad commentary on what kind of value I would put on them beating 40-plus-year-old QB.
If they beat the Patriots 52-21
number
in
one
December,
by an enormous margin.
That would go ahead of the Patriots team that had a 21-game winning streak and the 7-0 Eagles.
Yes, because the Patriots have just added to the Steelers' tortured history against them ever since that. They did it later that year, basically.
What is the most impressive Steelers win at Heinz Field? The most dominant, 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Here's Wayne with a thought. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, guys. I want to say I kind of agree with the Philly game. I rank that one as number one only because I like the result. I found it really amusing when T.O. and McNabb were fighting on the sideline. I remember that game so vividly.
Hines Ward had a really circuitous touchdown in that game as well, where he took a short pass and ran through their entire team, basically.
Entire team, yes. That was such a beautiful game. This game here, I'm not so convinced because I'm not sold on Carolina being that good.
Would you have said that before the game? Oh, he's gone. Plus, there's a Thursday night thing, which is a little bit of a monkey wrench in it.
I mean, Ron Rivera didn't even seem
that pissed off.
Yeah, he didn't seem. I mean, I'm sure he was mad that his team got humiliated, but he didn't seem as upset as you otherwise would be if you come in on a Sunday or you come in having had that much time to prepare, like a normal amount of time, and you get gobsmacked like that. Then I think you're sending messages, cussing guys out, saying jobs are on the line. This is a weird game for them. I firmly believe if Carolina was going to win that game, they were going to have to survive it. They were going to win very much by the skin of their teeth last night. That was not a situation set up.
See, I thought they were going to have to get a lead and be a run-first team with the quarterback and with McCaffrey, and that was going to have to be their calling card. When they get one-dimensional, they become forced to pass the ball ad infinitum. They're not very good, and that's backed up by their record in games where they're not balanced in the run game. 412-928-9370. Derek's on the fan. Hi, Derek.
Chris has never missed a 3-foot putt, by the way.
I made nine in a row, that's good. For sure.
Yeah. Last night was good, but I'm going to go back to 2005 when the Red Hot Chicago Bears come into town. Ooh. Coming off 8 wins in a row. And the Steelers are in a must-win situation, or they're not going to make the playoffs, and the scoreboard won't impress many people, but it was a 21-9 win.
No.
Bettis runs over Urlacher in the snow, so pretty impressive win there at the home Heinz Field.
Pony, I'm putting that as number 5 on my list. I'm glad Derek brought it up because I was scanning through again on Football Reference their box scores, and that one jumped out because that team had to keep winning games to get in.
Yep.
Okay. And I think that there was something truly impressive about that game because Chicago was very physical. As he said, they were coming in hot, and the Steelers just absolutely destroyed them at the point of attack, and there was no more symbolic play than Bettis running over.
I like that. You know what I think is a game that I would put ahead of the Baltimore Monday Nighter that they won 38-7, which I think is an honorable mention game here, is the playoff win a couple of years ago against Miami. Now, it comes with a caveat because Tannehill didn't play. It was Matt Moore. But they had gone down to Miami and pretty much gotten embarrassed. They'd gotten embarrassed by Jay Ajayi, who had run for over 200 yards against them. And they'd basically, you know, Brown quit in that game down there. You got Lawrence Timmons throwing up in the end zone. And they came up and they had the rematch in the wild card game. And the Steelers were like a touchdown favorite. But they blew them out. I mean, it's the same thing. Same thing as last night. They came out the opening possession and scored a touchdown and never looked back. That might be their most impressive playoff win at home.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their playoff games have been low scoring, white knucklers.
So I'm thinking fondly back to, I think, the first time you and I ever worked on the air together, and I know it's not impressive in the traditional sense.
The Baltimore game.
The Baltimore comeback, impressive, not dominant, but impressive that they rallied and weathered that kind of in-game adversity the way they did with one of the most singular performances in a half of football I've ever seen from them.
Speaking of great performances, a guy that's covered football for 40 years and is a Hall of Fame football writer said something about Ben Roethlisberger that, you know, really blew Chris and I away. And you're going to hear that coming up. And we're going to get your thoughts on that, too. Impressive is the buzzword or the keyword of the day after the Steelers trashed the Panthers 52-21 last night.
They're very strong up front on the offensive line. They have a very good core of players there that are really comfortable in their scheme as far as the run game and the pass game. They showed it last night. They dominated the line of scrimmage. They have a phenomenal, phenomenal running back situation right now, and I'm talking about the situation without Le'Veon Bell because James Conner, they've got that going on. The passing game looks legit. Look, they can hit you with so many different personnel groupings and attack you the width of the field and the length of the field, and that's something something that's just not an that's not an aberration. They can do that now. On the defensive side of the football, you saw last night, they destroyed the Carolina Panthers offensive line. Cam had no shot. He had no shot to get back there, get set up, and try and mount a comeback, because they have some people now up front on that defensive line that are actually hitting their stride too. The secondary looks better. I'm not going to say that they have solved all their problems in the secondary. I still think that's the Achilles heel of this football team. But I think a lot of the things that you saw last night will transfer for the rest of the season.
93.7 The Fan time is 4:29. Time to get 25% off Cool Sculpting at the Skin Center. That was former Pitt defensive back and former NFL personnel man Lewis Riddick on ESPN today, breaking down the Steelers' win and all the great things or reasons why you would feel really good about that game, from Ben's five touchdown passes to the defense getting five sacks on Cam Newton, holding him to 10 yards rushing. Special teams chipped in. They forced a fumble. Chris Boswell made a 50-yard field goal. Discipline. The Steelers had only one penalty, and that came in garbage time. And, of course, it was from Artie Burns. So it was a butt-kicking. It was the highest-scoring game for the Steelers in Heinz Field history, scoring 52. That's the first time it ever happened in that stadium. And it's a 31-point win over a team that, as John Clayton put it last segment, is definitely still in the mix in the NFC. Chris, you add all that up. Do you think it's the most impressive win in Heinz Field history? Where would you rank it? That building's been open. That facility's been there since 2001. Is it in the conversation for the best win?
For sheer impressiveness?
Yes. Not like an AFC championship win.
No. For sheer impressiveness and just forceful domination of a good opponent, it's in my top five, but I've got probably two that are one and two on my list, and they happen in Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season, when in back-to-back weeks the Patriots and Eagles come in as unbeatens, and both of them get throttled. And that was like good Tom Brady that you were seeing back then too. That was when he had started the Patriots. I think by that point it was his third or fourth year, had become his team at that point. Deshae Townsend pick-sixed him. They just tormented him all over the field. Burris had a big game. Roethlisberger was totally in command. I remember in that moment going like, holy crap, man, the Steelers aren't just like a nice little story with this rookie quarterback. They're ass kickers. And then the Eagles come in the following week and get beat down even worse. Those are the two Super Bowl teams.
Which one of those two wins do you like better?
The Patriots game, because it was the Patriots. Even back then, 15 years ago, basically, that was a big deal that they were beating the Patriots like that. Like, that felt like something significant. I would put that game one. I put that Eagles game two. How can I look past a game where they beat the two teams that played for the Super Bowl that year? I can't.
Does margin of victory matter? Because that Patriots game you're talking about, where New England had a 21-game winning streak snapped, which was the longest in NFL history at point, that was a 34-20 win, so it was a 14-point victory. The game against Philadelphia the next week was 27-3.
Yep.
That was a 7-0 Eagles team. They won that game by 24. They won last night by 31.
I mean, margin of victory matters, but I think quality of opposition matters. The Steelers, just to give quick context on that Patriots game and why I put it number one, a couple years prior, after the 0-1 AFC title game, when people did not really know what New England was going to turn into at all, like, that was still a mystery, right? And they went 9-7 that 0-2 year. They came out and kind of, for the first time, did that hurry up, keep the Steelers on the field, not let the Steelers sub, and just humiliated them early in the season. Mm-hmm. So that was like a validating thing to come back and say, hey, we've got this quarterback now. This isn't the Tommy Maddox or the Cordell Stewart show. We're a different kind of ball club suddenly. So I would still put that one.
In 15 years, Ben has two wins over Brady. One of them
that's the
was that game,
one.
And the other was 2011.
Do you quibble with that, or was that on your was that game on your list when you were making? Because I know you were researching this. I know you were going in depth, and I was trying to call off the top of my head games that stuck out to me. That's one of them. There's a Ravens game where Ben threw five first-half touchdowns. Yeah,
that was 07. They beat him 38-7 that day.
I mean, that's probably going to be four of my top five.
That was a
five.
Monday Night Football game, I want to say?
Yes, it was. That's four of my top five right there, because you crush your rival. In this game last night, just the sheer beatdown of it.
Do you put last night's game ahead of that one?
No, because it's not Baltimore. There's sort of a bloodless thing here with the Cam Newton part of it. Like, where when Ron Rivera's team gets beat by 31, but really gets beat by 38 because that last McCaffrey touchdown
was all cosmetic.
Totally meaningless, window dressing. When Rivera says bleep happens in response to that, you sort of get the idea that he wasn't that bummed out about it. If the Steelers did that to John Harbaugh last night, John Harbaugh would not have said stuff happens.
So I think the Eagles game in 04 is the most impressive win there. Because even though the Patriots had the longest winning streak, that season I thought the Eagles were the most dominant team in the NFL to that point. Because it was Owens and McNabb together, and it was T.O. with a competent quarterback, and that offense looked unstoppable. And they held them to 3 points.
Three. I mean
that to me, because you're also coming off, an all-time, carry Bill Cowher off the field game against New England, and then you've got to come back and get ready for another undefeated team the next week, and you hold them to 3 points. That's my favorite. And I think that the New England game is second, and I think the game last night is third. I put that ahead of Baltimore, because Baltimore in 07, I know that the Ravens and Steelers have had so many slugfests and, knock you down, beat you up, blood spilled type games. Mm-hmm. That Baltimore team sucked. That was the year before they got Flacco. They were really awful that year to get Flacco in the next draft. That team, I think, went 5-11. Kyle Bowler might have started that game. So I for as great as Ben was that afternoon, he threw five touchdown passes in the first half, which is ungodly. I think last night was more impressive because I think Carolina's good.
I understand that. And I think what I'm talking about is almost more memorable for me. May I submit a couple things about that Patriots game, though, from 04? They held the Patriots in that game to 5 yards rushing. And as much as they were becoming Brady's team, they were still sort of a power football team, too. 243 yards passing, they forced 4 turnovers and held Tom Brady to 5 yards rushing. That was singular for me. You know what the problem with those two games back-to-back was? That was the Steelers' AFC title game and Super Bowl, respectively, happening in late October and early November. Because after that Eagles game, they were never the same team, that kind of dominant. You could see it coming to the point where they should have lost to the Jets before New England actually bounced.
Heinz Field's been open since 2001. What's the most impressive Steelers win in Heinz Field history? Was it last night? Is that their best game in Heinz Field? Their most impressive top-to-bottom performance in Heinz Field history? Is it one of the games we threw out there? Is it a game we're forgetting? You tell us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.